I call your attention this morning to the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. To the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel. Yes, it is in your Bible. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. We will look at verses 1 through 9. Verse 9 say, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked and his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his ways, he shall die in his iniquity. But if he has delivered, thy soul will be saved." Amen. This morning, very briefly, we're going to use for a theme, double jeopardy. Double jeopardy. Yes. You may be seated. Double jeopardy. Double jeopardy is a doctrinal term that we get from the Romans. Double jeopardy is found in every established country that has a court system. Double jeopardy means that if a person goes to trial and that person is exonerated, that person cannot be tried again for the same things, especially using the same facts. Double jeopardy means that if a person is freed in a courtroom, that you can't drag that person back up there and try him again. So I know some of you get confused about Jeopardy on TV because we got a TV show that Merv Griffin started and it viewed March the 30th, 1964, and it's called Jeopardy. But see, in the TV show, it's a quiz show. The contestants are presented with knowledge and clues in the form of answers. They give you the answer and you have to come up with the question. But now that's just regular Jeopardy. But when you get into double Jeopardy, then the prizes double. But not only does the prizes double when you get into double Jeopardy, but also it becomes more punitive. It becomes more difficult. The punishment for making mistakes are greater in double jeopardy. Double jeopardy, you may be able to lose everything you have if you come up with the wrong answer. And you know, I watch my wife because she there's two things that she needs to do. One is she needs to go on double jeopardy. Because she's very, but the real show is the Wheel of Fortune. If you watch her play the Wheel of Fortune, she gets the answer before the people get the answer. So I might have to just get up enough money to send her up there. As a girl, it's good. but double jeopardy on TV, the penalties are greater. But now Ezekiel comes up with a situation of double jeopardy when it comes to the watchman. See, when it comes to the watchman, I'm referring to the watchman as a preacher, is that we have double jeopardy. My responsibility as a pastor is also to the members, but first it is to God. But see, I have two people that's going to hold me accountable, or any preacher that gets up here and stand behind this pulpit, is to God, and it's also to the people. Yeah. So that's the double jeopardy that we see that Isaiah is talking about. Today I will teach that all pastors and preachers stand in double jeopardy according to Ezekiel. They have a dual responsibility to man and to God. So this morning we will use 3 points. The first one is the call of the watchman. to warn the people. That's in verses 1 through 5. And my second point is the fault of the watchman, verse 6. And my last point, verses 7 through 9, is double jeopardy. When we look at verses 1 through 5, and I will be paraphrasing as I go, because sometimes we cannot get the real unction of what it's saying when we read the King James. See, King James could understand it, but I can't sometimes. So when we look at verse number 5, verses 1 through 5, the call of the watchman. See, I want you to pay attention, because there has to be a call of God for the watchman. See, every minister, every preacher has a calling on his or her life. It doesn't matter whether you accept the call is going to be there. But I want you to know, each one of these men who sit up here that calls themselves a preacher, they had a calling from God. God called them to speak for him. And that's the thing that we need to understand. Now, if somebody get up here shaky and somebody else called them, you'll know it. And we do have that sometimes. So when we come up to our lesson text, a message came to Ezekiel from the Lord. This message came to Ezekiel, but it came to him from the Lord. And in some of your Bibles, it may say, he said, son of dust, son of man. And this is what he told Ezekiel. Pay attention, because this is going to get rather deep. He said, tell your people. Now this is what I want you to tell them, Ezekiel. See, when God calls you, he'll also tell you what to do. God is not going to call you. What God ordains, he also maintains. Are you out there, preachers? So I say, tell your people, when I bring an army against a country and the people of the land choose a watchman, he says, I'm going to bring an army. God said, I'm going to bring an army. See, sometimes, you know, God, your enemies are there because God is testing you. But God say, I'm also going to call a watchman. And when I call this watchman is going to have a job to do. And he say, and when the watchman sees the army coming and blows the alarm to warn. See, the job description here of the preacher or the watchman is that when he sees the army coming, he is to blow the trumpet. He is to make the alarm, but pay attention. He said, when the watchman sees the army coming and blows the alarm to warn them. See, the job of the preacher, job of the pastor, is to warn the congregation of the oncoming dangers. But he said, anyway, he who hears the alarm and refuses to heed. Now you can hear the alarm. I just want you to know, my job is just to warn you. But he said, anyone who hears the alarm and refuses to heed, if he does not heed, the fault is his own. If I tell you the truth and you still go out and do your own thing, the fault is yours. The truth of God will set you free. But if you want to be wrapped up in chains, that's up to you. But it's my job to sound the alarm, to warn you of the oncoming danger. Come on, preacher. I had to say that for my own self. Anyone who hears the alarm and refuses to heed, if he dies, the fault is his own. See, the things I'm talking about, life and death. I'm talking about living and surviving. He heard the warning and would not listen. The fault is his. Now, Now here's where it gets dangerous. If he had heeded the warning, he would have saved his life. If you would have had heeded the warning that the preacher gave, you would have saved your life. But if you don't want to heed the warning and keep on going out there trying to do your thing, trying to come up with what you think is right, see, being ignorant of God's righteousness, you will go on and try to establish your own righteousness, and you will go out there and look at and listen to unchurched folk. Now, there's another danger, and this is why I have to do my job, whether you like it or not. The fault of the watchman. Verse 6, it says, but if the watchman, the preacher, the pastor, if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm and warn the people, the watchman is responsible for their death. Did y'all hear what I said? If the watchman comes and sees the danger, but he is asleep, or he's tired, or he's caught up and tangled up, well, whatever the reason, he doesn't warn the folk, and the folk die. That death, God is saying, I'm going to hold you responsible. Because I sent the word, I sent the warning, but you refuse to give the people the warning. You are responsible. The blood is on your hands, watchman. They will die in their sins, but God will charge the watchman with their death. Oh, y'all getting mighty quiet. God would charge the watchman. I told you I came to preach this morning. God would charge the watchman with their death. James 4:17 say, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. If you know what's right, if you know what to do that's right, and you see folk around you that's doing good or doing bad, then God say that's a sin. Those of you that are in college and you say you're a Christian, those of you that are in your workplace, those of you that in your homes, if you see folk and you're a child of God, you're an ambassador to God, you're a watchman from God, if you fail to tell people the truth, God say that's a sin. And then Peter said in chapter 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, judgment must begin at the house of God. Yes. Now that's dangerous. God say judgment. Because see, we got some folk coming up in here acting like Christians. But you know, when we take that, when we take that, they look like they're sprouting and growing like that tomato plant that was taped up with scotch tape. But when we take that scotch tape off, you know, it's a rotten tomato. You know, that rotten tomato, it looked good for a while, but then all of a sudden that sun started coming over and it started running and stinking, and all of a sudden it starts spewing out bad stuff, talking to folk in the wrong way, saying things that ain't in their lane, all kind of stuff, causing dissension and all. Oh, come on, champ. Those who know the truth and fail to give the truth, God say, I'm going to whip you with many stripes. If you know the truth and you fail to tell the truth, if you stand up here in this pulpit and you preach and you don't live it, ain't come here to play no church. Come here for you to stand up here and try to look good and talk good and smell good. God say, if you know the truth and you fail to do it and live the truth, you're going to be whooped with many stripes. Double jeopardy.
Yes, sir.
My third point, coming from verse 7 and 9. Oh, I know this ain't no message you can go to sleep on. God say, in verse 7 and 9, it say, with you,
yes, sir,
O son of dust, I have appointed you. God said, with you. See, I told you. When I went to church, I told my pastor, Reverend McNulty, he didn't call me. I told him God had called me. My wife carried me to the airport. I told you about it. She didn't know I was going to be no preacher. She know that my folk owned nightclubs. My father had a band. She dropped me off at the airport to go to California. I said, and by the way, when I get back home, I'm going to accept my calling to preach. I guess she said, who called you? I went on and got on my plane. Took her about 3-4 hours to get from O'Hare because she was turned around. She said she went somewhere everywhere. Got home and called her sister in Memphis and said, did you know James, tell me he going to accept this? She said, girl, James always been a preacher. Go on to sleep. Double jeopardy. He said, therefore, watchmen, listen to what I say and warn the people for me. Is that what I said? He said, watchmen, listen to what I said in the book, and warn the people. It's a dangerous thing of a pastor, preacher that don't study the word. Church leader. He said, but he said, tell the people what I say and warn them for me. I'm warning you for God. That's my warning to you for God. God says, Shannon, you're looking after their soul salvation. You're warning them for me. When I call you and say, where you been? You been in church? What's going on? And you're like, oh, I had some trouble. You belong in church. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you prayed and asked God to bless me with a job. So now I can't come because I got this job. I got this new house. I got to get up in the morning. And, like, listen. Yeah. God ain't going to bless you with something that's going to keep you from him. He said, therefore, watchmen, listen to what I say and warn them from me. And when I say to the wicked, oh, wicked man, you will die. And because you won't tell him what I say. He said, so that they won't have to repent. God say, listen, man, listen, oh, wicked man, hear what the preacher have to say so you can repent so you won't die. The wicked person will die in his own sins if he doesn't listen. But if he listens to what the watchman has to say, his life will be saved. But if you warn him and he repents, this is what is letting the preachers know. This is where we get our reward. He said, but if you warn him and he repents and he does not do his own will, but he does the will of God, he say, then you have done your responsibility. Double jeopardy for the preacher. I have a responsibility to God, number one. I have a responsibility to mankind, number two. So I'm caught up in double jeopardy. Yeah. If I don't tell you what God told me to tell you, God's going to get me. So I got to keep this thing on the horizontal and I got to keep it on the vertical. But I got to walk this delicate balance and I got to do what God told me to do. But also over there in Isaiah chapter 21, verse 11, he say, watchman, told you he going to call you a watchman. He say, watchman, what do you see? Yeah. He say, you standing up there on the watchtower, but I want you to know what you see is what you need to preach about. I'm putting you on the watchtower so you can watch. He say, watchman. What of the night? Watchman. Isaiah 20, verse 11 say, watchman, what of the night? In other words, watchman, what is it that you see? He said, preacher, look out there from the watchtower. Look around in the community. I want you to tell me, what is it that you see that's out there? I see our families being broken up. I see what's happening when Senator Daniel Monahan said, he gave his report on the Negro family. He said they are going to help to create a crisis within their own selves because we have now one out of every three marriages is up in divorce. He say, watchman, look out there. What is it that you see? I see broken homes, and I see homes that are broken, and they are broken because the devil has taken the parents, Christian parents, out of the homes. And because there is no home there that's congruent to the church, there's no home there that's teaching the word of God, there's no family structure there. The gangs have replaced the family. I look out, he say, watchman, what do you see? I see gangs taking over the family's role. I heard the other day, young man say, I love my street gang because they pay my rent when I don't have money. They feed me when I don't have food. Hallelujah. We see now that the street gangs are replacing the families. Families are breaking up. He said, now, when we look at all of this mass incarceration, he look out there and he say, watchman, what do you see? See our people that have come out of slavery, gone into Jim Crow, gone into segregation, and now we're going back into mass incarceration. We see mass incarceration. We see in the United States, we have the largest incarcerated population in the world. Say, watchman, look out there. What do you see? I see these things happening. I see all of these things, street gangs taking over. I see homes being broken up. He say, watchman, what do you see? I see sexual transmitted diseases all over the land. Watchman, what do you see? In 2010, there was 19 million new cases of sexual transmitted diseases in America. He said, watchman, what do you see? Our society has become too promiscuous. All of this stuff that's going on out there in the world is too common. He said, look out there, watchman. What do you see? What do you see? I see substance abuse. People say, I ain't got no drinking problem. But when the substance controls your life, when you live, just hear what Jonathan say, when you live to drink, when you live to get high, when you realize that your drinking has offended folk, you have a problem. When your drinking offends other people, and when you have personality defects that cause you to do harm to other folk because of your own deep personality scars. See, it's not the drinking, it's the personality scars. You need to understand what is the exact nature of your wrong. Why do you drink? Why do you need a substance to make you adequate? We have so many folk out here today that can't live unless they're drunk. I'm not talking about drinking. The Bible speaks about drunkenness. Man said, well, ain't nothing wrong with me drinking on a weekend. What you doing with that drink on your hand on Wednesdays? Hallelujah. So we see substance abuse. He said, watchman, what do you see? We see that there's a current need for folk to get in the church. We see currently there are 256 Southern Baptist churches in the Chicago metropolitan area. There are 34,348 metropolitan churches. There's 34,348 churches in the Southern Baptist churches in the metropolitan area. 42% of the Chicago metropolitan residents are unchurched. Only 9.1% of them are in an evangelical church. In order for us to catch up with this population, we need to plant 184 churches in the Chicago metropolitan area in 5 years in order to come up with a way to win this growing need of unchurched people in our community. And God is letting us know, what do you see? You see more unchurched people now than you see anywhere. No matter where you go, no matter where you've been, you run into unchurched folk. In 1900, E.B. Du Bois said there was more people, you could tell people's identity by their church membership. The story goes, the little boy got lost. He got real lost. He got so lost, he started to cry. If you ever been that lost? When you just start crying, he got lost. The man stopped his car and saw this little boy standing on the corner just crying. He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I'm lost." He said, "I'm just so lost, I don't know where I am." The man said, "Little boy, can you tell me something about where you live? Can you tell me something about a building or something about anything?" He said, "All I know, there's a building in my community that has a cross on it." The man said, "Okay, I know where that is. I know where that is. That's not far from him." The man put the little boy in his car, and he drove him to the church. And the moment the boy got to the church, he was able to go home. I want you to know, church, that many people that's lost today, they're standing out on the corner, they're lost. But if they find the church, they could easily go home. They could easily go home. Are you out there? The word of warning. God has overcome the world. But in the world, we're going to have trials and tribulations. I want you to know that trouble is real. Trouble is coming. But I want to warn you that God has overcome the world. I want you to know that he's a present help in a time of trouble. Keep on living. He's a present help. He was a present help for the Hebrew boys. It took the steam out of it. He was a present help. He was a present help for Joseph. Yeah. Let me just break that down, because some of you may not know about Joseph. See, God has to get a vehicle to get you to where he wants you to go. And sometimes God will use your enemies. See, Joseph rode his enemies' vehicles to become the prime minister of Egypt. Joseph's brothers didn't like him, so they sold him and put him in a pit. But while Joseph was in the pit, he found glory and grace with God. God took him out of the pit. If he hadn't have been in the pit, he wouldn't have been able to go to Potiphar's house. He went to Potiphar's house and met Potiphar's wife, and she lied on him. He was able to get out of Potiphar's house and go into the prison and meet the baker and the people that told the king that he could interpret dreams. But let me back up for a minute. If he hadn't have been put in the pit, if he hadn't have gone to Potiphar's house, if he hadn't have gone to prison, he never would have become our king. Oh, you don't know. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the watchman. What do you see? I see people collapsing in calamity because they refuse to trust God. Watchman, what do you see? I see people coming to church that's playing church. Watchman, what do you see? I see the church hurting because folks are walking away with their tithes and offerings in their pocket. Fail to give God what is due to God. Are y'all out there? Y'all see, I'm going to meddling now. Watchman, what do you see? God is calling you this morning. There may be someone out there that may want to join the church. I preach my own self happy this morning. Sometime I have to do that for my own self.